never miss the latest Game Tea. Check us out on social media. You can find us on Facebook at The Game Tea Podcast, and you can find us on Twitter at Game Tea Podcast X. We post memes, gaming news, retweet friends of the pod, and of course, let you know when new episodes are available for your sippin' pleasure. Links are all available in the description of this episode, so check them out after the show, and thank you so much for listening to The Game Tea Podcast. Everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Game Tea Podcast. My name is Czar.
I'm Lucian.
I'm Austin.
Welcome back, you two.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Thanks for having us.
Good to be back. Well, we are here for season 8, episode 2 of the Game Tea Podcast, and we got quite a bit to talk about today. So let's roll into that itinerary. Today on the podcast, we are talking about obviously the games we're playing. We have Winter Wonder Smash hype. We can't let you forget about that awesome tournament we're throwing. We have Dead by Daylight, Secrets from the Shadows by none other than Lucian. And finally, we are going to close out the episode with our expectations of 2024. Can it live up to the hype that 2023 delivered? We'll find out.
It's a big question, Dylan. I don't know if I'm comfortable answering that.
Let me get my magic eight ball from the desk.
I'm going to be wrong.
We'll get to that. We'll get to our opinions and everything. Before we get into the games we're playing, though, let's hype up Winter Wonder Smash.
For sure.
So this is happening January 27th, just a few days away, a little over a week, and we're hoping for everyone to come out. You'll get this baby if you win.
Yeah.
Plus, cash prize. Free koozies, and the first prize gets that secret prize that we mentioned on the last episode. So be there from noon to whenever it ends at the Herd That Sports Bar in La Vista, Nebraska. The singles bracket is going to be $10 per person, and that goes 100% back to the player pool. So you can potentially win all of that money.
That's crazy, Dylan.
You're a wild person.
You're just giving all the money away. I love it, though. It's all for the players. I'm excited, and I'm going to grab as many free koozies as I can.
Yeah, so you better get them before Lucian gets to them first. And I mean, this is going to be such a hype event. We're going to have a lot of fun. We are excited for this, and we hope to see all of you sippers out there.
Hell yeah.
Anything else you guys want to say about Winter Wonder Smash before we start moving on?
Make sure to show up early. There are quite a lot of people that don't want to pre-register sometimes. They just show up. So if you're one of those people who has not pre-registered yet and you're looking forward to this event, I'd say show up at least a half hour early. Just get registered, get everything ready. So we'll see you there at 11:30 on the 27th.
Definitely. We'll set up those brackets and we will get smashing.
I'll just add that if you're worried about just going up against super sweaty players, the one time I went, it was super cool. There was casuals. Sweats, neckbeards, if you will. me being the neckbeard there, mouth breather, have you. And it was just super fun, even though I got absolutely wrecked my first match. It was still a blast. Samus main, 24/7.
There you go.
Ayo. And we won't let you go home after the first match. It will be double elimination.
Nice.
So,
I like that.
Yeah, and we'll have some, you know, stations, some switches set up around the venue so that you can, you know, practice before the game starts.
Man, you're just thinking of everything, aren't you?
I got to stay three steps ahead of this process, otherwise it will bury me. So I suppose without further ado, gents, what fucking games you playing?
Well, you know me. I'm always on the DBD train.
Oh, I can't get off. Dead by Daylight.
I'm a straight up fog addict, and I can't get out of the fog. It's just where I live nowadays.
I inhale the fog.
I inhale fog. Yeah, so that's been on my playlist forever. I want to get back into Baldur's Gate. We were kind of chatting about that in our personal chat last night. And it made me realize that I am way more of a D&D player than I am a Baldur's Gate player. And I think it's the part of the reason is I'm not seeing it as a D&D simulator. I'm seeing it as a video game.
So I'm not
playing it like I normally play D&D. And there's just so much. It's such a content-rich game. I feel like I should just go ahead and restart.
I agree with that. I mean, I have gone into this game like believing that it is a simulation for D&D because I have no friends.
Yeah.
touch grass.
Go touch grass. And touch grass.
In Baldur's Gate? Sure. Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. You touch grass pretty quickly in Baldur's Gate. But no, I have found this to be so close to the actual representation of D&D.
Yeah.
Like, you can do whatever you want. If you want to go smack a treasure chest, you can.
Yeah, they everyone's give you a lot
gonna
of
look
options.
At, yeah, everyone's going to look at you like you're stupid, but you can do it.
Yeah. I just played through Spider-Man 2 on the PS5, and I know there were some people on social media that were perplexed why he didn't win, and I'll tell you what, it was a good time, but compared to Baldur's Gate, the death is like no comparison. Like, there's just so many things, like Dylan was kind of alluding to, you could do pretty much anything, and there's actually dialogue written for the most random of things.
Yeah, things you wouldn't even think to do, and you're like, oh, I can do this, and it makes you want to do those things even more.
Yeah,
I can't even imagine how many different voice lines they had to record for this game.
Oh god,
because it's got to be at least like 100 to 200 per character.
Yeah, I know. I think J.K. Simmons, if that's who I'm thinking of, he did a voice in Baldur's Gate, which I was really happy with. I love him as an actor. He's the guy that did, give me Spider-Man pictures.
So, need more pictures of Spider-Man.
Anytime I see him at anything, it's just a meme and I love it. But I think they had incredible voice acting in that game.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Like,
no doubt.
You almost have to wonder how much, like, how big of a file do they just have in their server room that like, just has all the voice acting clips?
Yeah.
It's probably like 5 terabytes.
Well, and
like,
here's the thing with Spider-Man 2. So obviously I'm the kind of guy that'll do all the side activities. So by the time I beat the main story, I was like, all right, time to get this off my PlayStation.
Yeah.
There's no replayability. But with Baldur's Gate, it's like, oh, I could do different classes, different backgrounds.
Unlimited.
Subclasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. And depending on which class you take, like, you will never have the same experience.
Oh, for sure.
And like, depending on which characters you run into and which times you run into these characters, like, for example, there's an owlbear cub. And if you don't like interact with this owlbear early enough in the game, you lose out on an entirely new aspect.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. It's pretty crazy, the depth behind this.
Hmm.
And I suppose there's allusion to this. I am also playing Baldur's Gate 3.
We're all on the Baldur's Gate train. I'm not as far ahead as you guys are. I've been a little stuck on some things and starting to get to the point where I think I might just want a fresh start.
I totally recommend that.
I missed the hot demon lady in the beginning, and I'm really effing pissed about it because
Carlatch.
I wanted to see where that went. Yeah. So
yeah. No, I've just started doing her companion quest line and gotten a little bit into it. It's really cool.
Is it getting risque yet?
A little bit. Like, well, not really risque.
She's like, come see me when people go to sleep.
All
you're like,
the poor girl wants is a hug. She just wants a damn hug, and no one can hug her because she's burning like a fucking sun.
I'll give her a hug. I'll give her a big old hug. Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Melt right in her arms. But yeah, so I am a tiefling bard. Like Austin was
you
last
would
time.
Be
yeah no that was my character when I played so D&D.
You're a total tiefling bard.
It does,
bard,
it does.
And I'm a dwarf rogue. What are you?
All right, so I was a tiefling bard, but then I got triggered and started all over, and so now I went with a race I never chose before. I'm a gold dwarf paladin.
Ooh, gold dwarf, good choice.
Yes. And you killed the secret boss at the beginning of the game, so you got that cool sword.
Yeah, I got
there's a
sword.
Secret boss.
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
I saw the picture you put in chat, and I was like, the fuck?
I mean,
it's right in the beginning of the game, too, so I'm like, how did I miss that? Like,
well, it's not even really a secret boss. You just gotta ignore what the Mind Flayer tells you and to assist him in attacking the enemy.
Right.
Oh,
and
okay.
You guys know how there's, like, those brains with legs that you can attack? Well, you can actually, in that first, like, kind of tutorial section of the game, you can recruit one of those to help you fight.
That's
we're
awesome.
We're going to the helm.
Yeah.
Me and my friend, we're going to the helm.
So I sent him to the helm. And I just focused, like, whatever, however many turns it was, killing this devil guy so I can get the flaming sword.
Sick. I'm going to go back and do that now.
Yeah.
Totally worth.
But I got to recommend a bard to everybody because I have had such a magical experience with this game. Like, there are so many secret dialogue options that you can take with a bard. Like, I haven't had to kill any bosses, really.
See, but I like that, but I also don't. Because I want to kill things. I'm a hack slash player.
But the thing is, you're going to miss out on awesome cutscenes like this when you get the boss to kill themselves.
Oh, God.
Come, sisters, soothe me.
What are we watching?
That was a very tough boss fight, told.
Yeah.
I'm told that's a tough boss fight.
But you would never know.
I would never know because I got his minions to kill him
jerk.
Me. Like, I didn't have to do shit. I didn't have to lift a finger.
That's awesome. I need to go play a bard now.
Yeah, bard is so fun. And, like, there are a couple other. I've loaded up a couple other clips here. As a bard, you can convince another tiefling bard to write a beautiful elegy for her professor, her teacher in all this bard crafts.
Mm.
And this is what that sounds like.
Dance upon the stars tonight. Smile and pain will fade away.
Oh, okay. That's beautiful. Cool. Beautiful,
horny.
Right?
A little
right?
Horny there.
Well, awesome. Here's,
calm
what,
down.
Here's what...
The devil horns. Devil horns.
You tiefling manes are just like...
Well, okay. That was beautiful to us, but here's what the squirrels have to say about that.
Oh, please, make it stop.
What the fuck?
Make it stop.
The squirrels did not appreciate that bard.
I love it.
And this is just some of the crazy stuff you can do in this game. It's incredible. I highly recommend it. And if you really want, like, a fun playthrough that is very akin to the silliness of D&D, play a bard.
Yeah.
Be a bard.
Yeah, I'm stuck on rogue right now because that's my normal character in D&D. I'm either a barbarian or a rogue. Okay. I'm either full assault or sneaking around. Mm-hmm. So I've noticed with playing rogue with Baldur's Gate, you're a lot more privy to deception, of course, but I kind of love that deception gameplay. Like, I'm kind of all about deceiving people in the game, and the longer I can do it, the better off I feel with my character. So I've been focusing a lot on deception and trying to manipulate people, and it's not always going to happen, but I feel like with the rogue buffs, it's pretty normal chance. So
yeah. I'm more of a persuasion kind of guy.
Yeah.
I don't like deceiving people. It can be fun. There's a lot of fun aspects with that. But no, especially with the persuasion on the bard, you get like a +7.
Oh, I bet.
On every roll.
I made my Asterion. Is that his name?
Asterion, yeah.
Yeah, I was saying it wrong, I think. I made him a bard.
Oh, I made him an assassin.
Like, he kind of just feels like a bard to me. You know, like he's so like flamboyant and just over the top and like whimsical. I'm like, that's a bard.
Should I let him bite me?
I did. I let him kill me.
Should I let him bite
you?
No, I didn't accidentally. I was like, I'm going to see how far I can take this. And I was just like, don't stop him. Don't stop him. Don't stop him. And I was like, you fucking died. And
I was like, no.
Oh, shit. So then they had to bring me back and he got all pissed off at Asteria. And I was like, oh, this is fun. Juicy time clip there.
Yeah, no safe word with Asteria.
No, not at all.
No.
I do like that he has that vampire attack. I think it's cool. It's like a nice substitution when he can't do anything else.
Oh, and it does so much damage.
Yeah.
And like it heals him as a bonus too. So like that's always nice. I fucking called that though. Like beginning of the game, I was like, this is one vampire looking motherfucker.
Yeah.
And then like there's the subtle hints at like, oh, I can walk into this house now? That's weird. And you're just like, what the fuck is going on with Asterion? And then he's like, I'm a vampire. And you're like, no shit.
It's like someone coming out and everyone's like, yeah, we knew.
We knew you were a vampire.
You know what I mean?
Like, we love you.
We knew.
Like, we
it doesn't
love you,
change
but
anything.
This isn't news.
Right. We knew this was going on well before you told
us. You were hoping this was going to be some big reveal, and we're all just like, oh, we weren't acknowledging that?
Right. Wait, we weren't supposed to know that already?
We love you, Asterion. You're so useful, and we love you.
Yeah.
But everybody knew.
So on the opposite end of the spectrum of usefulness, Gale, right?
Oh my
garbage
God.
Character.
We were arguing, well, not even arguing,
no,
we were
just
all in agreement. Yeah, we were all in agreement, just shitting on
Fuck
Gale.
Gale, bro. I hate his stupid face, and I hate that I have to give him magical items. And he's like, oh, my stomach hurts. Give me a magical item. Ooh. And then he's like, and my character, I'm always like, what are you going to do for me now? I just gave you this, like, really expensive item to like suck into your stupid magic body. And now he's like, oh, don't worry. Like, it'll be worth it in the end, kind of a thing. And I'm like, no, fuck you. I want money. I gave you a magical item.
I mean, you would think that if he was absorbing all these magical items, he'd at least get some sort of buff or right. like a power.
I don't think anything fucking happens to him. He just, like, doesn't die.
No, he just mooches your magical items. That's all he does. I mean, luckily, once you hit the end of Act 1, you don't have to give him any more magical items.
Well, like, that's good.
Part of the quest line, he won't need them anymore. Okay. I won't allude to any more than that because of spoilers. Right. But I hate him because he's so fucking squishy.
Yeah, he's a glass character for sure.
Yeah, well, he's not even a glass cannon because he doesn't do as much damage as I feel like he can output for me.
True.
I mean, maybe I haven't spec'd him right or something.
I think a lot of it is people like kind of forget about him because he's just such a forgettable character.
Oh, well, especially after you like get to that point in the quest line where you don't have to constantly go up to him and be like, here's a magical item.
Then it's like, why are you here?
Yeah, then you just entirely forget about
him. Yeah. I think it's one of those characters where it's like, okay, it's a human mage. How appealing is that, really?
How vanilla can we get?
He's like the most vanilla character in the cast. Yeah. And like, you compare that with like a tiefling barbarian or like a vampire rogue or like all these other things. And a human mage just doesn't seem fun.
Yeah, it does seem a little weird given the diversity of your party, because like you got an Inferno or Averno tiefling, you've got Asterion who is a vampire, you've got Lazelle who is
Githraki,
which is a very little seen race in D&D.
Oh, for sure. Very, like,
they're
very
like
rare.
Mystical and like the guardians of the realms and everything.
I remember when Honor Among Thieves came out last year, it was a huge deal that they had a Githraki in the movie, and it was for 10 seconds.
Oh, right.
It was like the main character was telling a story about how he was a spy, and one of the people that he like tripped when they were running away from the guards was a Githraki. And everyone freaked out. They're like, oh my God, there's Githrakis in the movie.
So should I have it's such her in a rare... my party, though?
I kept her in my party, and I keep her with me because she's super valuable in fights.
Yes. Her bonus attacks, really. And she hits the crits hard. Like, I've critted for like 80 with her.
Yeah. She's really good at long range. She's good at short, like, distance fighting, too. So I keep her around.
Well, especially because later in the game, you go to, like, the Githraki crash and you find a bunch of Githraki weapons and she gets bonuses on all of those
weapons.
Haven't
done that yet. That's good for me because now I should do that now. I know.
Well, and that's another key to keep in mind when you're playing Baldur's Gate is which companion do you have with you when you're going to certain areas.
It matters, like, for sure.
It absolutely does. Like, I had to early on put Shadowheart in my party. I hate having Shadowheart in my party because I already can run the heals with my bard. But if you don't travel with her in the Underdark, you miss out on like half of the content.
Well, that sucks because she died in my game and I can't bring her back.
You didn't have any revivifies?
No, here's what it was: a story based death, so she's never coming back. One night in the camp, the Githraki and her got in a fight over the item, and I, being the neutral guy that I am, refused to back either one of them up in the fight. And so the Githraki just killed her.
Yeah, you're supposed to break that up.
Yeah, I did not do that. I was like, fuck that. You guys
should probably start over.
I was like, at this point, I've done so many things wrong. I think I just need to start over.
I really don't like having Shadowheart, but like her quest line is so cool. So yeah, I'd recommend
my team got a lot weaker when she left because she's a paladin. So she had some healing. And then I had Asterion as a bard. So he had some healing. I was like, okay, I got a couple people healing. Then all of a sudden, it's like, no. Right? No, you don't.
Why don't I have health potions?
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck, bro?
I just want to run aggro with the tiefling lady. What's her name? Karlach?
Karlach?
Yeah,
Karlach.
Karlach. Yeah. I got Asterion. And I guess I have to run Shadowheart because I'm a paladin myself. And then her with extra healing. But I want one more offensive character. Mm. But you only get four.
Yeah.
Four spots. Well, three spots, really, to choose from. You're
We should totally start playing together when they do crossplay.
Yeah,
it's just coming.
It's just cross progression currently, which we found out the other day.
Right. So when they get crossplay, we gotta create our own D&D party and go at it. I think that'd be fun.
Oh, that would be.
Maybe record some videos for Geekly and for GameT. We could do some gaming videos. I think it'd be fun.
GameT Geekly Game T Geekly crossover.
There you go.
If Whoa. I can enunciate.
There you go. It deserves the enunciation.
The podcast cinematic universe.
Right?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, I think that about covers the games we're playing, boys. Mm-hmm. So the next item on our itinerary is Dead by Datto.
Dead by Datto.
Dead by Daddy. Dead by Daddy.
Oh, that's staying in. Dead by Daylight Secrets
yes.
from the Shadows.
Yes, yes,
we
yes.
have an inside source, mm-hmm. Lucian, so take it away.
So I will preface this by saying this is not technically for sure. Okay. This is all speculation. Mm-hmm. But I will say the source that I have, who I will not name, has been correct on the last two releases of DBD. So this was a post they made last year predicting Chucky and then Alan Wake coming afterwards. So you know there's some legitimacy behind this post. Mm-hmm. This person has been correct in multiple leaks in the past, and they're probably one of the sources that I would trust the most. So they start off, Chucky is a new killer, Alan Wake as a new survivor. It says that Chapter 31 will be a new killer and survivor. The killer is similar to Legion, and there's also a completely new map. Now, I will, before I go to the rest of the leaks, I will say there's been some updates with the new killer survivor. Apparently, and now I don't know how much I trust this as much as I trust my source, but it's coming from another source that was almost as reputable as this one. Mm. They're saying it's going to be a killer called the Watcher.
Hmm.
And the Watcher is going to be three aliens that possess three World War I soldiers.
Wow.
And I don't know how that's going to work, because how are you supposed to switch between three killers? I don't know if it's three killers in the game or if it's three aliens controlling one killer. But the news on that is that it's going to be kind of a new style of killer.
Hmm.
So I think, I mean, look at the track record. Once they did Twins and Chucky, I mean, they could do anything.
I was going to say, because like Chucky was the very first killer that they introduced a first person aspect
for. Third person.
Third person.
Yeah, because it's normally first, and now they put it in third because he's so tiny, you would barely see shit if it was in first person.
You would see the tops of grass.
You'd see like ankles. Yeah. So that was the first third person. The Twins was the first killer that you could switch back and forth between characters, which kind of leads me to think that might be something to do with this new killer. I could see it being a killer where there's three killers that load out into the map, and then you have to switch possession of which one you're possessing. And you can kind of leave them where you want and like move back, which I think would be a game changer, to be honest.
Okay, so with the Twins, does the other twin move around the map independently when you switch?
No, so...
So it just fades out of existence.
The normal... I shouldn't say normal, they're not normal. The older sister of the twins...
The normal sister.
I forget her name. It's not Claudette, it's something. She's got Victor inside of her body, but when you eject Victor, you... possess Victor's body, and she stays there in like a sleep state.
Okay, but she stays where you left
her. Yes, she won't leave. And then you can switch between them back and forth, and Victor will stay where you leave him. The nice thing about Victor is he is a beacon for anyone near him. So if anyone's within like 20 meters of him, you see a heartbeat where they are.
Oh, so you can just have him as like a motion tracker.
Places. Yeah, I used to do that all the time when I played Twins. Is I would just camp places with Victor and then be like, oh, there's three people
right over there.
So I think it might be, if the Watchers is what I think it is, I think it's going to be something completely new for the game. So that's super exciting. Again, this is mostly speculation at this point. But moving on from that.
Ooh, I do have something to say about the Watchers real quick. I think it would be really cool, and I don't know how they would do this because this would totally break the meta. But what if you introduce and nerf the three Watchers and add two extra players?
Whoa.
Like, you really nerf them so that they can't just go and kill someone on their first strike or, like, hang them on a hook on their first strike.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to emphasize working together as a trio to hook the people.
That would be cool. Maybe make it a little different as far as the gameplay, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know how the search lobbies would work with that because, like, you would have to let two additional people into a five-player game.
You know, anything could happen at this point. One of the leaks I had later was they're making new game modes.
Oh.
So, yeah, that could fit it right into a new game
mode. It could, probably, because one of the rumors is that they're going to do two killers, 10 survivors.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, 8 survivors.
That would be fun.
And you would have to complete 10 generators.
All right.
Instead of five, which with eight survivors isn't that hard. And two killers, they could be working together. I saw videos where people modded DBD and they were playing this already, but it was on their own. And you'd see some of the craziest, like, just combinations of killers working together. There was a guy playing Gunslinger. And you know his power. He'll shoot you with the chain really, and it can wind you in. Well, he had the chain. He would shoot somebody, and then a Bubba would come up and just chainsaw him. So it was like a perfect combination where you start thinking of all these combos of killers that would work so well together. So who knows? That may be something they implement, you know, with new game modes. You never
know.
That'd
be really cool because, I mean, that could potentially open up a new esport.
No, for sure.
With that, with the new gameplay and having teamed killers. Because I think that is what really keeps these asymmetrical multiplayer games out of the esports highlight.
Yeah.
Is because it's one person versus like four or five.
Yeah, it's all asymmetrical. Yeah. So it just doesn't feel like a normal game.
How do you really coach that? Right. Now, if you introduce a team aspect for the monsters, then you've got a potential esport.
Yeah, I think it's possible.
That's where the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game comes in, because it is three killers versus four survivors.
Yeah.
I played it, and then it got kind of repetitive because they had like two maps at the time.
Yeah, it hasn't really taken off like I think they wanted it to, but still got a fan base behind it.
Well, and most of those asymmetrical multiplayer games haven't. Like, we've got Friday the 13th, we've got Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Evolve.
Yeah, and like...
There's another one coming out in 2024, Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, yes, that's right.
We'll see how that does.
Is that considered asymmetrical?
I believe so.
I think it's the same amount of clowns as it is the same amount of players.
Oh, wow. So, okay, well, never mind.
So, yeah, I guess same vein as Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah, It's this. I think Killer Clowns will probably do a lot better just for namesake alone, but we'll have to see on that one.
So this guy also goes on to say that Vecna from D&D, not Stranger Things, is going to be a new killer.
Huh.
Which kind of struck me as different, and I also think this could be outdated. Because this came out like maybe last December, these leaks came out from this source, and they had just gotten Stranger Things license back.
Mm.
So I'm in the particular mind where I think, yes, it could be D&D because that's just another IP they need to get. But why wouldn't it be Stranger Things? They just got the license back. Why wouldn't they be already making Vecna?
Capitalize on the popularity of Stranger Things while it's still hot.
Exactly. I mean, they could do D&D. It's not out of bounds. It would be the one IP that I feel like doesn't fit the mold.
Yeah, like one of these things just doesn't belong. And like you say that D&D compared to Stranger Things. And when I'm thinking of Dead by Daylight, obviously I'm going to go for Stranger Things.
Yeah, it just aesthetically looks better. Too.
Yeah, D&D can be scary, but there's no like specific aspects about it that like the general public would be like, oh, that's Dungeons and Dragons.
Right. And like, I think if you're going to do Dungeons and Dragons Vecna, it's just going to feel like he's nerfed. Like, he's such a powerful character to just be slashing and doing one power feels like such a robbery of that character to me. I would rather see Vecna from Stranger Things, and maybe they implement a new, not mode, but a new style of play, a new, like, kind of interaction with survivors, a new power, maybe. Something that switches it up from the norm. And I don't see that being something that would work with D&D Vecna. Maybe that's just me, but that's what the source says. After that launch, he's claiming they're going to do Dracula from Castlevania.
Ooh.
All right.
I think that wouldn't be a bad idea.
That's not out of the ballpark.
I already thought that like Nosferatu would have been great in this game.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Just imagine like the creepiness coming towards you and it's just like floating.
Yeah.
No, I just imagine SpongeBob where Nosferatu's flicking the light switch.
Nosferatu. Well, the genius with having like Dracula in there is like the amount of skins you could do. How many depictions there have been of Dracula.
For sure. And each one, those skins could also be different IPs they reach from. So I think if Dracula's coming to DBD, there is something great to celebrate. But these are all things that are apparently coming. Again, this is a speculative leak, but this person, the source, has been right on Alan Wake and Chucky. Chucky, which no one thought was possible.
Yeah.
So if they're right on those two big things, and especially before they came out, I think they're at least on the right track. And if this isn't what Behavior is doing in the future, it's at least similar. Mm. That's why I say, like, I think he made that Vecna post a little soon. Because for my money, I would say it's Stranger Things Vecna. But yeah, so a lot of crazy stuff coming to the fog. If you're DBD players, we have a lot to be grateful for and a lot of new stuff coming up. I can't wait to see new game modes. I think that's going to be the most fun. DBD's been one thing for seven years, yeah. You know, and to implement anything different in the game modes, I think is only going to be successful.
Well, and I mean, it's a testament for the game itself.
For sure. Because
how many other asymmetrical multiplayer games have made it to 7 years?
None.
I don't think, I think Evolve made it to like 3 or 4 yeah, years before maybe. They shut the servers down.
Right. I remember playing that one too, and they gave up pretty quick. So
we all know which one I'm waiting for. Jason in Dead by Daylight, even though he has his own game.
Jason will be the last one. If he comes to Dead by Daylight, he will be one of the last killers that they start thinking about adding in just because of the rights controversy and all that. The reason they have Trapper is because they couldn't get Jason.
Oh, really?
He's their Jason.
Huh.
So that's the nice thing about behavior, I'll say, is when they can't get an IP, they will do their best to make something similar or in the same vein. Like Legion was Ghostface before they got Ghostface.
Oh.
And Hillbilly. Well, Hillbilly
was Bubba before Bubba came in. Yeah. So there's a lot of killers that are homebrew that might as well be licensed, but they just can't. The nice part about Ghostface is they actually got really lucky on that IP. The owner of the mask is a Party World Halloween store.
Really?
And that's who the movie had to get rights from to use the mask for the movie.
Huh.
Well, they still own the rights. So instead of going to Scream, which they knew were going to say no, they went to the Party store and said, hey, can we use this mask in our game? They said, sure. And the people from Scream said, yes, you can do that. You just have to make a completely new killer. So technically, the killer in Dead by Daylight, that's Ghostface, is someone that's never been in a movie, never been in a show. But it still works. Like, you don't need the permission of the movie if you got the mask.
Like, you can take one look at this character and be like, oh, that's Scream. That's Ghostface from Scream.
And, like, it's funny because it doesn't matter if they got their permission or not. It still works with the IP. So it's one of those rare cases where, like, yeah, they got around it, but everyone's still going to think it's Scream.
Yeah.
I use quite a bit of their homebrew characters. Like, I use Plague is one of my main ones.
I fucking hate Plague.
Yeah, I just like throwing up on everything around.
I hate it so much. It's like cheap as hell. And then you got to choose when you're going to heal yourself because there's only so many wells on the... I hate it. It's like, if I play against Plague, it's rare that I get out. If I play against Plague, I'm playing a hatch game. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for everyone to get two hooks, and I'm just searching for the hatch. I'm not doing generators.
Oh. And then, to unleash my full toxicity, I'm Basement Bubba, of course.
Of course you are. I just switched my mains from Chucky to Pinhead.
Ooh. Yeah. And it's hard for me to
Pinhead
play.
Pinhead is so much fun when you get a hang of it. Like, it's a lot of sensitive movement for, like, the chains and stuff like that. You really got to get that down pat. And I actually switched from keyboard to controller just to play Pinhead. It's a little easier for me to control those hooks with the sticks. But, dude, you want absolute gratification, play Pinhead. Like, just, it's so fun. Like, the box, when the box loads in the game, you can just fuck with the survivors. And I have Lethal Pursuer on now, which is a nemesis perk, and it allows you to see all survivors for, I think, the first 6 or 9 seconds of the match.
Ooh.
So what's nice is the Lament configuration, the box from Hellraiser, it spawns on the map, but it spawns furthest away from every character. So if you know where you are and you know where they are at the very start of the map, you can just go find the box immediately and start fucking with them. And then every time you solve the Lament configuration, right there when you get shown where everyone is, 10 seconds from there, it'll respawn again, but it'll be the locations of when you just solved it. So if you know where everyone is right there and you know where you are again, you can just keep going for the box. And box logic, honestly, for me, is the easiest way to play the game. I've gotten so many 4 kills just from obsessing over the box.
That's so dirty.
It's a whole different way to play the game, to be honest. I love it. And there's always one person running for the box. You can at least guarantee to hit. It's so much fun, dude. I recommend it to anybody who plays Dead by Daylight as a killer. Like, he's classified as very hard for a reason, but once you kind of break that code, dude, there's no killer that's more fun for me.
Let me sell you on Basement Bubba. So basically, you get one character down, right?
Yeah.
And then you bring him to a basement.
Sure.
Hook him, and oftentimes you could have that one perk where it's like you stand still and you're kind of invisible.
I think it's Insidious, maybe?
Yeah. And then you just wait for someone to come rescue the person off the hook, and you down them both and repeat
Rinse and repeat over and over. And now you can't really face camp anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They got rid of face camping. There's a meter that fills up if the killer's too close to the hook, and you can automatically get off the hook.
Oh.
So it kind of deletes face camping from the game, at least from a certain range. So you can still, like, get around it in some maps for sure, but, dude, I fucking hate Bubba's. Back in the day, just face camping Bubba's, I would just stand there and wait for you to get a hook. Sucks. I think my favorite game I ever played, there was a AFK Bubba, and we were just fucking with him for like 20 minutes, getting blood points. We did this thing where we would like circle around him, all four of us, and then we would like go up and down, back and forth, and he was just like, when the guy came back, I think he was so confused.
Like, what game did I load into?
Right? Like, what am I playing right now? But yeah, a lot of stuff coming for Dead by Daylight. If you are a Fog Dweller, there's a lot to be excited for. Stay tuned on YouTube. I'll say do your research if you want to learn more about these DBD leaks. There's people out there talking about it. There's people that have been talking about it since last year. If I could recommend anyone to watch in DBD, it would be Ots Darva or Spooky Loops. Those are my two favorite DBD streamers, and I think they do a great job of kind of breaking down leaks and breaking down information and kind of educating people more on the game. So,
very nice. Very nice. Well, that was a lot of information. That was a lot of good information, man.
Thank you. I did my research this week. Yeah.
Yeah, juicy. You did.
Tantalizing.
Indeed.
Moist, you could say.
Well, I suppose without further ado, let's move right along for 2024 hype.
Woo. Oh, my God.
You know what games are hyped for? Rugby 24.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck no.
Can't wait to play Ultimate Team on Rugby 2024.
Oh, boy.
Buying packs with real money.
No, in all fairness, though, I did want to bring up, well, specifically that game to kind of introduce this segment because I'm not exactly as hyped for this year as I feel like maybe I should be.
Yeah, I agree.
Kind of hard to top, like, Zelda sequel and Baldur's Gate.
Yeah,
Spider-Man 2.
This might be the year of updates.
Yeah, I think so.
Sure. I think this is just going to be a good update year for what we already have. I do not see anything groundbreaking coming out this year.
There are a few things that I'm really excited for. Oddly enough, they're all remakes, of course, but Alone in the Dark. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this game. It is
I've heard of it.
Have
yeah.
you?
Well,
I know that
David
face.
Harbour is in the remake, right? He's going to be in the voice cast. Yeah. The guy from Stranger Things.
Yeah. But this was such a shitty horror game. Like,
it was terrible.
It was. I loved it because it was so realistic. Like, you got real time wounds on your body from the monsters. And like, you would have to open your trench coat and be like, okay, well, there is the med spray and I got to spray my leg. And now I got to spray my arm. And like, if you spray something else, you just wasted your med can. But where people hated this game was the controls, because like, you like moved the weapons around with the stick as you swung.
Yeah.
So like, you had to pull back on the stick and
pull
forward.
Oh, it's like a golf game. What the fuck?
Yeah,
that's weird.
You lost me a trench coat. Nothing really ever comes good of trench coats. Yeah. So take that how you will.
But I really liked it. I'm a big fan of shitty horror games. So I really hope this one hits my mark there. Another revive that you guys may be hyped about, Marathon.
I don't know Marathon.
By Bungie?
Oh my gosh, no. I thought it was like a running simulator or something.
Oh, no, God, no. No.
This is Hurdler 2.5.
The Disney Olympics 2024.
It's just Wii Sports.
Yeah, for real.
It's just a different version of Wii Sports.
No, Marathon was the precursor to Halo.
Okay.
Ooh. Marathon, in a canonical sense, does predate Halo. And they do, I don't know how much since like the split of Bungie IP from Halo, I don't know how much it is canon at this point, but they are reviving Marathon this year. And I believe that's a TBA. We don't know when that's coming out. Alone in the Dark will be coming out in March. And the only other two games I saw that were really hyped for me were Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon.
Okay.
Which is coming out sometime this summer. I love me Luigi Mansion. And I also love me some turn-based Mario. So Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door is also being remade on March 22nd and being released at the same year.
Oh, yeah. I got a couple buddies that aren't going to leave their basement for a while.
Yeah, same. And I'm going to be one of them.
I was going through that list you had linked in our itinerary, Dylan. It was kind of like finding dog shit in your yard, just kind of like trying to find something here.
Whose dog shit is this? How many dogs are in this neighborhood?
And then, so obviously one that stood out was Cat Quest 3 for the Switch. Explore the world as a cat. No, I'm kidding. But, I mean, when you got stinkers
I had fun with it.
Cat Quest?
Yeah, I played the first two Cat Quests. I got them on my Switch right now. I had a lot of fun with those.
All right, scratch that out. off rip, we get some stinkers like Suicide, Kill the Justice League.
But God, fuck that.
That's going to be garbage.
Only fuck one reason I want to play it, because IGN's complaint about it was the Flash is too fast.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Well, I remember you want to play it.
Did you watch the video they did on it?
Yeah, he's too annoyingly fast.
I interject here?
It just feels like someone took all the Arkham games and thought, what are the worst parts about this? And then they just made a game like that.
How can we make DC shitty?
Like, seriously, Rocksteady, is that who does it?
I believe so.
They had three amazing Arkham games that set the tone, that built a universe, that did the foundational work. And then somebody got way too high and went, you know what we should do? And they just ran with it for 5 years. And now this is the world we live in. And I'm like, fuck, dude, it's so stupid. Like, the idea isn't that dumb. The execution is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
Like, I'm sorry, but it is poised in my brain to be a microtransaction game. I hate that shit.
Yeah.
And what's unfortunate is I think that they're banging on the fact that since its last like appearance of what Kevin Conroy is Batman.
Yeah, that's sad.
And it's like kind of depressing. And live service games in general are depressing.
If that's all you have, then you have nothing. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Rest in peace, Kevin Conroy. You were an amazing voice actor. But if that's the only reason people want to play this game, go play Arkham.
They're going to be sorely disappointed.
Go play Arkham. I'm telling you. Just don't do that to yourself.
Don't do Arkham Origins, though.
No. I liked it. I liked it. I liked that there was an early Batman. I liked that Croc looked different. I liked all that. I didn't like the ending. I didn't like the way the story went. But everything else I liked about that game. Even the stupid multiplayer mode.
Oh,
do you remember that? Where you could be the thugs and you could like upgrade yourself to the Joker or Bane. Like, dumb as shit, but I loved it.
Yeah, but then they just turned that into DC Imposters or Gotham Imposters or something.
It's the dumbest game I've ever played.
Oh, it's so dumb. Why did that need to be
a thing?
It's
pretty much Team Fortress 2, but Arkham.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, not good.
So like an actual, you know, not... hopefully shit game coming out this year is the Final Fantasy Rebirth coming out at the end of February. I remember playing this, so if you don't know, that's the sequel to the first part of the remake of the game that came out
in like the 90s.
Yeah, and then like, so I just remember watching my older brother play on like the three disc on PlayStation 1, and so I downloaded the first remake part because it was free on PlayStation Plus. So I got that, fell in love with it, and I hope in this one I get to raise some chocobos.
Yeah.
I hope I get to raise my chocobos.
I need my chocobos.
I need them chocobos. I'm not going to lie. I kind of miss the multi-disc system.
Yeah.
Because it felt very empowering for me to like complete the first disc and move on to the second disc.
There's a completionist thing about it.
I don't know how many people made it to this point, but I'm one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, of course, with digital, we can't have that
now.
No. And then I'm hoping Elden Ring DLC comes out, because that's a game that I put easily 100-plus hours
in. Is that slated for this year? Or is there any DLC?
Early release. It was supposed to be out this one character that was mentioned in the base game, and people have been theorizing. I even went as so far as to went on Reddit. I hardly go on Reddit. I went on Reddit for Elden Ring.
I spoiled myself.
I read something that could be coming out later this year, so I'm crossing my fingers. Otherwise, I'll be stuck playing Suicide, Kill the Justice League.
No,
so.
Don't do that.
No, stop it.
I'll do it. I'll do it so you too won't have to.
Playing that game is the opposite of self-care.
Here's what I have to say about that.
Please, make it stop.
Just have that clip on like hold for...
every time you talk about it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm keeping that clip in the StreamYard because that is going to be useful.
Right. South Park's coming out with the new game.
I saw that. Yeah, and it is a total step away from like the other two, the Fractured Butthole and Stick of Truth.
Cool.
Yeah, like this game, I saw a bunch of early reviews and they're like, this is more closely akin to South Park 64 when you're just walking around in a blank nothing. throwing snowballs at turkeys.
Yeah, I love that game.
I loved it too, but like I went back a couple years later and I was like, this is kind of shitty. Like, this is not South Park.
Right. We all had those 90s blinders on.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
nowadays, you go back to anything and it looks like shit.
Yeah, well, I'm not hopeful for that.
I had
that
a lot of nostalgia
Park.
For that that first South Park game, for sure.
it did have its charm. But I am not hopeful for this new South Park game.
Yeah, no, I mean, Fractured Butthole.
Get the Seth Rogen laugh.
It was such a good, solid game. I'm just worried that the 3D is kind of putting me off. Like, whenever I see 3D in, like, any, like, an anime,
like,
for example,
animated, yeah,
I'm just like...
Right, it's a little nasty. Cringe. Yeah, I agree. So I'll probably end up playing that just for the fun of it and see how it is.
Yeah, why not?
Cool. Yeah, and isn't DBD coming out with like its own standalone game? Is that this year or next
the casting
year?
Of Frank Stone or Frank Castle? Ooh, I can't remember. Frank Stone, which is going to be a prequel to the timeline of Dead by Daylight. It's going to explore a lot of the lore with the entity, and I think obviously Frank Stone is going to be a killer in this game, but it is in the style of Until Dawn or The Quarry.
Ooh.
So it's a choose your own adventure kind of horror game. So
like that.
I think it's going to be fun. I think a lot of Dead by Daylight players are going to check that out simply for the lore and because it's going to expand what we already know about the entity. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of twists coming in that game, but I wouldn't be surprised if later this year we saw Frank Stone as a new killer. If they just implemented him in Dead by Daylight, I think that'd be smart.
I'm so happy for Dead by Daylight.
Me too.
Like,
me too.
I until you came onto the podcast, it was on my radar, but I had no idea the depth, the community, the lore, all of the
it's
big
crazy.
Plans in the future for this game. Like, I thought it was just a game.
No, this game took off, bro. I mean, you could technically say they're still in a beta, you know, with all the updates and it not really being finished yet.
Yeah, like, but is any game at this point?
Right. But like, it's one of those little engines that could. And I think the more they listened to the players and the more they tried to change things to make the game a little easier for players and kind of balance things, the constant quality of life updates they do is why this game is so successful. They're constantly trying to figure out what's not working and how to fix it in an appropriate way that doesn't break the game like every fucking game we know.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, there's a new update coming out. Well, now I can jump through walls. Like, none of that really happens anymore. Where the first 3 or 4 years, you'd see a lot of that stuff happening. Like, there was way back in the day, I'm talking like the first 2 years of the game, there was a glitch that let you take the killer's items. So like a survivor could run around with a chainsaw and you're like, what the fuck? Like, that's not supposed to happen. Like, weird things like that happened in the first, you know, couple years of the game.
But isn't that what we're yelling at every horror movie anyway?
Yeah. Like, take the chainsaw.
Knock him down and call it good.
Kill
Finish
him.
The damn job.
Right.
Kill him now.
Hell yeah. So no, I think this game has come a long way and I don't think anyone expected it to. I think 2 or 3 years in, everyone thought this was going to fail. And the fact that they've gotten so many good licenses and they've actually maintained really good homebrew characters, like, I think Dead by Daylight is the example for what an asymmetrical horror game should be, for sure.
Mm.
Yeah, but overall, kind of a downer year as far as big games.
Yeah.
I mean, woo. Yeah. Baldur's Gate 3.
I mean, after that, there's not much to really think about, you know? Like, Baldur's Gate was such a big force in the gaming community, and it's going to still be for a long time, so.
Well, and I mean, not every year can be hype.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
and
sure.
I've noticed a trend, like, if you look back at 2008, 2008 was a huge year for gaming. Mm-hmm. Like, so much came out. A lot of it's eluding my head right now. But look at 2009. I don't think much came out then. Either. And so, like, we'll have those
good point
big years where, you know, you got Zelda, Baldur's Gate, and a bunch of other great AAA titles coming out and indie titles. And the next year, you're going to have kind of like a calm period. Everybody's still playing the games from last year.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what happens with the DICE Awards next month.
Mm.
Because Game Awards are one thing. DICE Awards are a whole nother game.
Yeah.
It's people in the industry voting. It's not just fans and players.
Well, and that's the difference, because at the Game Awards, the players vote.
Yeah.
And at the DICE Awards, the developers themselves vote.
So I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens there. I am really sad that Hogwarts Legacy completely got snubbed. They weren't even a part of the conversation.
Yeah, but...
And, like, I understand controversy behind J.K. Rowling.
I don't think that's what it had to do with.
22 million copies last year.
They did, but look at all the other like contenders on the Game Awards. They far outsold Hogwarts.
Listen,
on sales.
If you're going to at least put bring Spider-Man 2 to the table, you should have brought Hogwarts Legacy.
I think it should have been nominated for a lot.
At least nominated.
But honestly, I can't really see any award that Hogwarts could have won.
I think a sound design. I think anything having to do with the environment, any kind of environmental design, because the Hogwarts castle is an achievement in itself. Like, it is so complex. It is so realistic. It is the real scale of what it should be. Like,
yeah.
I spent half my game just walking around school.
Like, oh, hey, I know
shit,
what that
I'm
is.
To algebra. Hey,
like,
there's
the one
I
switch.
I gotta go to physics. Right. Oh, God, I'm gonna miss physics class. Like,
I role-played so much in that castle because I thought it was such a great achievement to see. But, I mean, even just for that, I think it should have been nominated for something.
I agree. I think it should have been on the docket more, but again, I just don't know where it would have won. Like,
right. Yeah. It's hard to place it for sure. I agree with that. Now, they do have the Quidditch game that they're working on now, which I think is going to blow things up because that's the one thing you didn't get with Hogwarts Legacy. And they gave you the full field. You just couldn't play Quidditch. So now they're working on more of a, I think it might be EA or something comparable to that, but they're making a sports Quidditch game. I think that's going to blow up esports.
I think that'd be fun. I think that'd be a lot of fun to see as an esport. I just don't know how well a standalone Quidditch game is going to do again. Because, we've had a couple standalone Quidditch games.
They
all flopped. Yeah. I mean, and, Quidditch is what it is.
Right.
They're not going
to... It's a crazy game for sure. And to make rules for it and make it an actual, okay, this game can't last 10 hours. You know what I mean? Like, in the real Harry Potter universe, some of those games lasted, an entire day.
Yeah.
So, you can't have a game last that long. There's got to be a time limit on
it. Oh, in the books, I think the longest running game was 4 months or something.
Right?
So yeah. 4 months nonstop.
Can't have, an esports game like that, with that kind of boundary on it. But I think if they're putting half of the attention they put into Legacy, I think the Quidditch game would be a success.
I would like to see some Legacy DLC in 2024.
Yeah, same.
Something more substantial than just the Haunted Shop.
Yeah,
or something big.
Or the Death Eater stuff you could buy. The dark, I forget what the package was called, but it's essentially you get a Thestrial, you get the Death Eater clothes, you get all that.
Yeah, you get
the
a couple shiny
special,
beasts.
I think is what they called it.
Yeah, you get some named beasts and clothes.
You know what would have improved Hogwarts Legacy? If it was a live service game. Now hear me out. No, there's no further.
If there's pay to play.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
You want that wand? It's $20 in the real world.
Right.
Yeah, you have to pay for a better dorm room.
I took such advantage of that game. I became an animal, what do they call it?
Animal husbandry?
Breeder? No, I was the opposite. I was a poacher.
Oh, nice.
I became a magical animal poacher, and I would go around just collecting animals. And then in your vivarium, in your room of requirement, you get all these different vivariums for different animals. And I created a unicorn mill and a thestrial mill. So I'd make them breed, and then I'd just sell the offspring and keep making them breed over and over.
You just get a pug because you overbreed them or something like that. You just get something
what the fuck is this? But yeah, it was fun to kind of take advantage of the lack of rules in that game. But yeah. I will say the one thing I ever have to complain about Legacy with is there's no consequences.
No, yeah.
I was the most evil character I could choose to be. And I'll never forget, and I say this to people all the time, there's a scene at the very end of the game where you get access to this ultimate power, right? Like this big well of energy and power. And your teacher is like, what do you plan to do with it? And I was like, evil. Hit the evil button as many times as I can. It's all for me, selfishness. And he literally just goes, all right, then. And then it just continues. I was like, why did you ask me if it didn't matter?
And see, I think
it's so pissed off.
I think those are probably the aspects why it didn't make it onto Game of the Year as heavily. Because, the choices don't matter.
Yeah.
There is very little consequence to this game. It is very linear, even for being an open world game. Money doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, you said that you would, sell all of the offspring of your bred animals. And, that's a great way to generate income in the game. It really is. But income doesn't matter once you hit a certain point.
Exactly. Once you're at a certain tier, it's nothing matters anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and that's what I didn't like about it. I wanted a little bit more customization.
Sure.
And like more items, because like I really wanted to drip my character, and I just felt like that was lacking.
I wanted to massacre the school and let it be like Bully or GTA.
Right. Like, I was like crucifying people and like doing all that, and it didn't matter. I was pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some things like that. But yeah, I'm hoping they get DLC. Is there anything else you're looking forward to in 2024?
No, that's kind of it. I'm just waiting to see what happens. Mm-hmm. I guess Frank Castle would be the biggest thing for me. Yeah. That new DBD game, I'm really excited for that. So we'll have to watch for an actual release on that. I don't think they have any actual date yet. But if I could guess, maybe March or April. So that'll be a good one.
I'll be on the lookout for any DLC for Power Wash Simulator.
God damn it.
Wash the White House.
Wash the corruption.
That should be their DLC. Like, turns into like a, like, you know, you're a crime fighter and you're power washing. Oh, that would really hurt though.
Yeah.
Like, don't use power washers
as
on
a weapon.
People.
Yeah, no, that hurts.
That is very bad.
So you take some skin off right there.
I take a lot of skin. Cut down to the bone.
Oof.
Well, on that charming little note, I suppose I got to remind you all one more time, be at the Winter Wonder Smash event on January 27th, noon to probably 5-ish. Win that trophy, compete, have a bunch of great prizes, and have a great time. We will see everyone there on January 27th. Heard That Sports Bar and Grill in La Vista, Nebraska. And I suppose everybody out there, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Game Tea Podcast, and we'll see you in the next episode. You just got your Game Tea. Send-offs!
I'm Austin.
Bye!
I'm Lucian. Bye!
A Herd at Sports Network production.